your music, brother, and appreciate everybody being here. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you.
Amen.
Really appreciate his spirit, and just got a nervousness about me more than you're always nervous anytime you get behind the pulpit, but extra nervous today. And I know the Lord's in control, and I know I'm insufficient. It's him that makes the difference, you know.
Amen.
And how many of you come expecting this morning?
Amen.
Amen. You know, Will, he is so good to us, and I believe he knows exactly what we have need of today.
Amen.
I want to speak to you on a thought this morning of sonship expressed. Sonship expressed. And let's go to Psalms 104, verses 1 through 15. And I know it's quite a few scriptures, and I started so many times to take some of it out that I just felt checked, and I was like, you know what, let's just read the scriptures. I want to say hello to Sydney and Dylan. God bless you guys. So glad you guys are with us. And I got a little niece back there, too. It's good to see you, Serenity. God bless you. Love to see people serving the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you this morning, and I thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, you know that I feel nervous in myself this morning, Lord, but Lord, I know all I can do is just be your clay, Father, your vessel, Lord, and I just give myself wholly unto you. Lord, I ask you to help me to have a fitting for your people today. Lord, I don't want to sing anything out of tone, out of cater, Lord. My sincere prayer, Lord, is each person would leave the service edified in your spirit. Lord, that as a coal of fire, it would drop into their hearts, Lord. In the coming days, Lord, it would cause them to believe your word, Lord. We love you today. Be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seen. These are characteristics of a God that is in control. And he is a God of purpose. And God set laws in order to sustain life of an earth that is in a fallen condition. And you know, an artist, he is expressed through his creation. And whether it's through a painting, a song, or a sculpture, the descriptions identify who the artist is and what he has done. And if you look at it hard enough, you'll begin to see the artist through his work. And sometimes it's a loss of a child that will give somebody the inspiration to write a song or to paint a painting. And sometimes it's something beautiful, like the sunrise of a birth of a new baby. But it's an inspiration that comes, and inspiration, the definition, is the process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. To really appreciate the work of an artist, it's to receive the inspiration that the artist had whenever he did the creation that he did. And the artist will receive an inspiration, and when they receive that inspiration, he'll use the gifts that he has to transport that inspiration that's in his heart. So if you're a songwriter and you get that inspiration, you'll write a song. If you're a singer and you receive that inspiration, you'll sing a song. And a lot of times whenever you feel that enthusiasm, it's actually the inspiration that you're feeding on. You know, the inspiration that you receive, it's the same way the ministry. You know, a minister will receive an inspiration and he'll use the gift inside of him to bring forth that. When you really enjoy a song, whether it's in key or not, because you're receiving the inspiration, you can actually enjoy that song. Have you ever noticed that?
Right. There's some people, they can't sing that word, nothing. They can't put a key in a bucket, if you so to say. But they bring the Spirit of God now. It's a real gift. You know, and it's something it's the inspiration that they have. And we're talking about Sonship Expressed. One of the most pure and honorable inspirations for a man or a woman and a desire is for them to have a child. And the man will have a desire to have a child, but the inspiration that he really has is not just to have a son, not to have a child, but this son would express something that he has a desire on the inside. It's because that man has a name, and he has a desire for that son to express that name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, the father has a vision for his son, and it is an inspiration to see his son grow into that vision. You know, in the Old Testament, they would do the adoption, and I don't want to go too much into this right now, but in the Old Testament, they would have a time of adoption where the son was already a son, but he would put him under tutors. That way he would learn how to operate the business exactly how that father would. So the tutor would not teach him a different message. He wouldn't teach his ideas about it. He would teach him exactly according to what the father wanted. And it was one message, so it's actually the father that sends the tutor. And then the father actually gives the message for the tutor to give. And the tutor that we have is the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And we know that once that son comes of age, the father would put a white garment upon him, and he would put him on top of a platform, and he would stand before the people and say, "This is my son. If he writes a check, you go ahead and cash the check, because his name is just as good as mine, because he's come to a part of adoption." You know, in Jesus Christ on the earth, whenever he received water baptism by John, there was a spirit that came down and said, "This is my beloved son, and who I am well pleased." And then later on Mount Transfiguration, Jesus Christ was put on top of a mountain. He was dressed in white, and the same voice came, "This is my beloved son, and who I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And it was a type of an adoption, a spiritual adoption that we're coming through. So that's something. It's one thing to be a son. It's another thing to really express the position of a son. To express the position. You know, I don't want to just be a Christian or call myself a Christian, but I want my life to speak that I'm a Christian. I want my life to speak. I don't want to say I'm the bride. I want God to vindicate, "This is my bride." Amen. Because it wasn't the son that built the platform. It wasn't the son that got himself says, "Hey, I'm as good as my name is good as it." It was the father that said, "His name is as good as mine." Right. And that's what we want. Amen. So a righteous man doesn't just want to have a son that will look like him, but he wants one that will take the position of his son and that will work and live in that position. The greatest thing that you'll receive in this natural life is your name. I've always told my kids this, is the most valuable thing is your name. The way you conduct yourself. If you've got a bill, you go pay that bill because that's your name. And if you can't pay it, then you go make arrangements because it's your name. It's your most important thing you have. And the way you conduct yourself under that banner of your name, that will be a direct expression of your respect to that name. And you know, every company has a name. And when you have that name for the company, that's a standard for that company. And so that means any work that goes through that company, if it's Car-Mart, there's a name on the side of that car. That means that vehicle must go through the standards of Car-Mart. That means Car-Mart says, "I approve this car." You know, if no matter what it is, no matter what company, there's a name to that company. And that means that in order for you to have your name tied to that, that is an approval. "I approve of this." And we know that the Holy Spirit is a seal. It's a name. Is that right?
Right.
And that means God's not just going to put the seal on anything. It's got to be something that is an approval, where "I approve of this transaction." Brother Graham talked about the rail cards. And you have a rail cart, and you would fill it with all kinds of things, and you'd have an inspector that would check that rail cart, and you would see if it's packed correctly. Because if you've got jars in there and it's moving around and you're going down the railroad track, it's going to break the jars. It's not going to work. So the inspector will tell you things are too loose. You've got to correct these things. And he will never put the seal upon that car until those things are corrected. He is the inspector. And he's the only one that can put the seal on the back of that car. And that seal, it is a sign that this has passed the test. It's gone through the approval. Amen?
Yeah.
So whenever you're going through a vehicle that's going through a dealership, if you're going to do it right, you inspect that vehicle thoroughly And you're doing everything correctly because you're saying, I approve of this. This is my stamp of approval. Well, that's what I'm talking about, a name. And the son has a name. Amen. Though there is a level of fear, and I'm trying to get around this. We'll get to the message, okay? Though there is a level of fear that is needed to appreciate something. If you only have fear, it's torment. There's a level of fear in a relationship between a husband and a wife, parents and children, people with God. There is a level of fear. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There is a level of fear. But if you only have fear, that's torment, brother and sister. If you're in a relationship, a husband and a wife, and she's serving you out of fear, if I don't do this thing, he's going to divorce me. That is torment. You know what? For the bride to try to live a life of saying, well, I have to do this, or I'm going to get divorced, or I'm not the bride. That is torment. That is not God's program. God is a spirit of love, brother and sister. And the devil will try to get you to walk by fear. But God wants to woo you to himself. You say amen. It's a pleasure to serve the Lord. Can't you say, man? It's a pleasure. It's not a burden to serve the Lord. It's a burden not to serve the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Tony Dungy is a famous football coach, and Brother Tim and Dylan and Sydney, you might know some of you, Elijah. Some of y'all might know who that guy is. I didn't know who he was, but I was in college and I read about it. He's a famous football coach. He won a bunch of football games, a bunch of Super Bowls. Well, I had to do an essay about him, and I used him as part of that essay. One of the things Tony Dungy said is that I do not focus on the position of each player and say, you be good at this position, you be good at this position, you be good at this position. He said, you know what I do? He said, I focus on making them a better person. Because when you make them a better person, they're automatically going to be in a better position. You know, and that way, that's what we are as brothers and sisters, as Christians, as we focus on being, I want to be a better person for the Lord. In all things. Because whenever you are really putting God first in your life, you are automatically going to do the right things. Right. You're automatically going to clean your house. You're automatically going to sweep the floor right, do it the right way. You're going to automatically do a good job, time of the job. You're automatically going to do these things. So it's focusing on the right thing. And when you focus on the right thing, everything else follows. And because it's a respect, and it's one thing that Tony Dungy, as a leader, he recognized the best thing I can do is help that person be the best person of who they are. You know, each one of you, I'm just going to minister to you this morning. Each one of you is a person. And you have qualities about you. You have strengths about you. You have weaknesses about you. And God can use the you in the pattern of the way you are designed and use you in a way that he cannot use anybody else. And the way that God will do that, and I was talking about Tony before service, you know, the way God does things is so different than the way we do. If I was going to build something out of a piece of metal, and I was going to restore something, and I saw a car right here that needs very little work, and I seen one that was just rusted all the way out, holes in it, and needs all kinds of work done to it, I would pick the car that needed less work. Can you say amen?
Right.
If I was going to use material to build something. If I had material that's rusted out, wallowed out, bent up, and just wallowed all pieces, or I've got some that's straight metal and all kinds of stuff, I would use the one that's straight.
Right.
God didn't do that. I was probably the worst junky car you've ever saw out there. It had the biggest holes. The seats were ripped out. It was rusted out. I was absolutely a mess. And there were so many other people that were living a good life. But God, for some reason, he said, I want this one. I chose him. And God began to restore and make me what he saw in me before the foundation of the world. Brother, sister, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not looking for someone that's perfect. He's looking for somebody that needs him. They that are whole don't need a physician. I need him. I realize I've been serving the Lord since I was 18 years old. I'm telling you, every day I need the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every day I'll say, Lord, why did I say that? Why did I do this? Lord, forgive me. And his grace just comes right back down every single time.
Amen.
As I was saying, serving.
That's torment. And there's a lot of companies that will try to run their company by fear. You must do this or you're gone. You must do this and you will get work done. I'm not saying you won't, but you're limited in what you can do. The best thing you can do is inspire. Because when you inspire, you will get more things out of them than they ever thought they could get out of themselves. It's inspiration. When you're on the battlefield and you've got a captain in front of you, you don't need someone to tell you you're a countdown nothing. You need someone to say, come on, boys, let's do this.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us, brother and sister. He is not a beater down. A lot of times we mistake the voice that's speaking to us, and you might think that's God talking to you. That ain't God. God does not beat you down. The devil does that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right?
God will always lead you to higher heights.
Amen.
And we're talking about a leader. The greatest thing a leader can do is inspire men rather than by fear. And the church of the living God has never been meant to be held by fear. Children, I'm going to say it this way, children of the message in particular were never called to be held by fear. That's a shame. It is a motivation by, hey, this is freedom.
Amen.
The gospel is freedom.
Amen.
And I've been serving the Lord since I was 18. I've been on this message for, well, since then, I'm 40. You do the math. I've seen so many families where the kids will leave as soon as they come to age because that whole time they were going, they were holding by fear.
Right.
If I don't follow this, I'm going to hell. If I don't do this, I'm doing this. It's you're looking at the wrong thing. Listen to me. I want to say this so clearly. If you're living a life where you're every day, I'm living by fear, you're walking under the wrong beat. It is mercy. It is grace. But we're going to talk about that fountain, the little spring that was just a bubble. Bubbles all the time. Out in the woods, he saw this little spring that was just a bubble, and he said, little spring, he said, what is it that makes you bubble like that? Is it because the deer drink from you? No. Because the rabbit drink from you? No. Is it because I drink from you? No. What is it that makes you bubble? That spring, if he had a voice, he'd say, something inside me just makes me bubble.
Right.
Brother and sister, that's the way it is with a Christian.
Yeah.
You've got something inside you that's just bubbling. Can you say amen?
Right.
Amen.
It's not something out of fear. I got a bubble or I'm going to go to hell. No, it's silly. It's like my wife. My wife wore I'm really going to embarrass you this morning. My wife wore a white dress yesterday, a sundress. It's probably one of the prettiest ones I've ever seen her wear. And we went to a little wedding, and we're sitting there with friends. And I've been with this woman for 22 years. I've seen her for 22 years. Same woman. She's not a different woman. But I'd see her, I was at this wedding, and I'd see my wife walking across the deal, and every time I'd see her, like my heart would literally just leap inside, like, my goodness, she's pretty. And I start talking to everybody else, we're talking to one another, and I look, I was like, oh, I like that dress. Same woman. 22 years now later. God's the same way. I've been serving God for the same time I've been serving my wife, brother and sister, and it's the same way. I didn't have to have someone beside me saying, hey, you should make your heart leap. You should do that. You should. It's something that happens automatically. It is a love for her. And listen to me, that is really what a Christian is. It's whenever you love God.
Amen.
I love him. I love his word. I love his presence. I love his people. You know, and that's the greatest way is to show your love is whenever you have love one for another. Is that right?
Amen.
Is who should have the most love in this world? It's the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm going to say some hard stuff. Is a lot of times, and I believe we have the cream of the crop here. Remember, this message may go to whoever knows. But around the message, sometimes it's the most starchy, stuck up, nose in the air people I've ever met in my life, and I do not want to be around them.
Yeah.
That's not the real message.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you because this message is grace, it is mercy, and it's something that makes you want to pull somebody and say, hey, you come get some of this because this works.
Amen.
Amen. I used to sell vacuum cleaners, and you know how I sold vacuum cleaners? I believed in what it could do. And because I believed in it, I was convinced. And I wanted people to come see it. I said, I want to come see this. It's got a steam cleaner in here. Hey, you got some, talking to a customer, hey, you got junk on your floor? Junk on my floor? I got a clean house. Do you really? Well, I said, I will remove those stains for free. Well, you know, I do got one stain. Come over here. And I take that stain out, and as I'm demonstrating this product in front of them, they're like, my goodness, that does work. You know what? I've got another stain over here. I got another stain over here. I got another stain over here. Next thing I know, I'm steam cleaning their entire house. The beginning of the conversation said, I don't have stains. I've got a clean house. But you know what it was? They did not have confidence that the product worked. But once I showed them, hey, this product works, they said, hey, you know what? I've got needs. There's a lot of times, hey, do you have a need for the Lord? Do you have a need for God? No, I'm actually good. I'm actually really good. Are you really? Because I'm going to tell you, when you've got confidence that this gospel works, you say, you know what? I do have needs. I've got problems. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. It's because you need to see your confidence in the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
Satan will try to take away your confidence in the power of the gospel. It's so easy to not look out there and say, you know what, they're wrong, we're right. You know what? The scripture says he will come to a time where they have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. We have a God that still heals.
Amen.
We have a God that will still give revelation.
Amen.
We have a God that will still fill with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So many times people are limiting, they're settling. So I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they settle for something, and that's it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about sonship expressed. I don't want to just say I'm a son. I want God to be vindicated with signs. This is my son.
Yeah.
It's so easy to hide under the shadows of saying, well, no, that's not for everybody. Not everybody will do that. That's not for everyone, so that's not for me. I'm not saying every person in here, you'll be going raising the dead every single day of life. But if God wants to, we need to say, God, you do what you want to do.
Amen.
Be instant.
Amen.
To say the right thing. Sometimes it's just saying the right thing at the right time.
Amen.
And someone can receive their healing. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's somebody else. But it's saying the right thing at the right time.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to say again, I believe we got the cream of the crop here. But around this message, it's a shame of what it's become.
Right.
Someone comes through the doors, they ought to feel the most welcome they've ever felt in their life.
Amen.
When they come to our home, when they interact with us, there should be something about us that says, you know what, that's the most loving person I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
I'm trying to get off that and move on to the next. When a woman receives the name of her husband, if she is a faithful wife, she will express the name of her husband. And the man doesn't pick any woman to be his wife, but when he's choosing a bride, it will be the one that will truly satisfy his heart. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And she will not be just a helpmate, but she'll be the one that he has chosen to bear his name and to express his name through his children and through his home. And you can tell what kind of a man is by the wife that he chooses. And many of the women today, they will deny the man a child. How many of those are, that's true? Most women today will not give a... No, this is not a bad thing, it's not having a child. I'm trying to make a point, okay? And today, it's so prevalent, they'll push so hard, birth control, and doing this, and doing this. What is it? It's because the woman does not want to have a child.
Right.
Why does she not want to have a child? Because it changes her form of her body. It changes her lifestyle. She won't look the same. I guess they'll walk the same. Like my wife does. But you're different after you have a child. The church is the same way. A woman is a type of the church. And the church does not want to come into that same position of having a birth anymore because it changes your forms, it changes the way you look, it changes the way you walk, it changes all kinds of things. Because you know what? The real Holy Ghost comes inside. You can't walk the same anymore.
Right.
I'm going to say this. This time of the year, I hate this time of the year. Number one, because of the heat. I figure I got one amen out of it. The other thing I hate about it, it's because everywhere you go, you have got to hold your head straight up in the air, look around. Because no matter where you look, a woman ain't got no clothes on.
Right.
And you, whenever they're dressed in front of you, you have to, as a son of God with the Holy Ghost, you still have to say, God help me during these times. As long as you've got red blood in your veins, you have to say, God help me.
Yeah,
that's true. Scripture says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery already. We've come into church this morning, and I don't say this critical. Lord knows I don't say it critical. I saw a woman running around with nothing but her bra on and short clothes on, just running down the road, and my heart was sad for her because that woman does not realize your body is for your husband only. There is nobody that has a right to look at that woman except her husband. I'm telling you, brothers, because it's so valuable. It's such a beautiful thing. But the devil will try to paint a picture of it, of trying to say, that's legalism, that's this, that's that, that's this. No, it's holiness. Because you are so beautiful. You are so pure. No filthy guy with dirty eyeballs has a right to look at you. Sisters, keep yourself holy. And you know that when you're dressing, if your skin, if your clothes are so tight, you can see on the inside from the outside, it's the same as wearing short clothes. Because your body, brothers, it's the same way. If you're wearing a shirt and it's so tight, you're showing all your muscles and everything. Trust me, I know, I've been there before a long time ago. But listen to me, if you are putting yourself out there where a woman is lusting after you, you are causing that woman to commit adultery.
Right.
By the way you're dressing. It is not just the women, it's the men too. The way we get, because he is a holy God.
Amen.
That's not walking out of fear. That's not walking out of, it's because it's a respect.
Amen.
It would shatter my heart if I was to see my wife or my daughter running in nothing with her bra going. And I do not say that critical for that. That's a child of God. Is she bound? Brother Burke said this one. He said, don't condemn the person for living a sinful life. He said, but you live a life high enough that they will want what you have.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So let's strive for holiness. Because this flesh right here, listen to me, this flesh right here, he will try, sisters. He will try. That devil will try to bring those dresses higher. And once it starts getting above the kneecap and you're sitting, it's just as easy you to flash somebody sitting in front of you as someone wearing something else. Sometimes a pair of shorts would be holier than that because you can't take it. You know what I'm saying. I'm talking about a holiness that it's a reverence before God. You're walking before God. I mean, listen to me. There's going to come a day of judgment one day where the preachers are going to be held accountable before God for what they said and what they did not say.
Amen.
If that watchman standing on the tower, that man is on the tower, he's watching for the enemy to come in, he must say, hey, there's someone coming in, prepare, there's someone coming in. If when he cries that cry and they don't make themselves ready, they don't make things right, that blood's on them. But if he says, hey, stop that, get ready, the enemy's coming in. If he does not cry out to that blood is on that preacher.
Amen.
It's so important that we realize it's not about legalism. It's not about walking by a bunch of laws. It is holiness.
Amen.
He is a holy God.
Yeah.
Let me see a quick testimony, then I'll get back to this. When Brother Brown was in Africa, these men and women were naked. Men and women were naked. And when that Spirit of the Lord come down, the women automatically and the men automatically start covering up. Why? The presence of the Lord.
Right.
Listen to me. America is such a doomed condition to where they have grieved the Holy Spirit so much, they don't even recognize the presence of God anymore.
Right.
And it's been replaced with just a feeling. Listen to me, if that feeling does not point you to the Word, there's something wrong.
Right.
The Holy Spirit will always lead you to holiness. Amen.
Okay.
I've got such a long way to go, but if I keep running, shouting, we'll get there. The greatest respect a woman can give her husband is to not just to receive his name, but to express his name through a position of mother. And every mother started out with a little girl. She was a little girl fishing, as my daughter was. And my daughter would take us to Colorado, or I'd take her to Colorado, and she just whooped the fire out of us. You know, that's what she did. And smile while she did it. Little girls will play with dolls, play with dollhouses. They'll do these things. And you know what? In the midst of all that girl many of them will have a desire to get married one day. They're carrying that doll because they want to be a mama. Is that right? But is she a mama? She's got the potential, but she's not a mama. And there's a lot of people that say, I want to be the bride, I want to be the bride, I want to be the bride. But your life will show what you are. Obviously, the little child, you understand what I'm saying? A little child can't be it because she's a baby.
Right.
And there's a lot of times around someone that they're just a baby with the Lord. You know, a baby that's inside a mama, they live off the umbilical cord. That mama eats something, drinks something, and it feeds that baby automatically. But if she take that umbilical cord away from that baby, it would die if it wasn't ready, because that's what it feeds off of. That baby lives off the umbilical cord. And there's a lot of people, they're living off of the umbilical cord of the church. As long as you are in church, you're feeding, you're doing what you need to do. As soon as you go out those doors, you're no longer feeding anymore. You go back in, you're hoping you take that umbilical cord, stick it back into your belly button, and you're feeding all over again. That sounds silly, but brother and sister, that's exactly what's happened over and over and over and over and over again. Because you know what, at birth, a baby at first, you got to be helped, be fed. No, but you know what? After a while, and you know, if you have a little one, I can't wait till I have a grandchild. Oh my gosh, this message ain't toward that, but hey, if it pushes you in the right direction, hey. I cannot wait. That baby's got swollen he ain't never heard of. Joy's unspeakable. But you know what? When that baby's born, I can't expect that baby to give him a T-bone steak and say, hey, feed that, eat that. Starts eating off the breast of the mama. After a little while, we're going to give him baby food and beans and gravy and mashed potatoes from the table. After a little while, you're going to give him something, give him something. As he gets older, he's going to have to learn to start eating himself.
Right.
Eventually, that baby's got to learn, hey, this works. If he doesn't, there's something wrong.
Right.
Listen to me, in a Christian experience, if you've been going years down the road and you the only time you eat is when the preacher spoon feeds you, listen to me, there is something wrong.
Right.
Because life desires food.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Because if it don't eat, it dies.
Right.
If you plant it by the tree, planted by the water, it shall not be moved. Because it's just drawing from the nourishment. Listen to me, you as a Christian, it's your responsibility to go to the table and eat.
Right.
Amen. If you're not, you're a baby. I don't want babies. No, I don't. Be clear on that. I do want babies. We're talking about sonship expressed. You can never express yourself as a full son if you're not even feeding yourself. Amen. We've got to feed yourself on the word. Now, a wife was not a wife expressed through a mother whenever she was just that little child. She had the potential and possibly had the desire to be married one day or to be the mother one day. But, you know, as of that point, she was just plain adults. And just having a potential and a desire does not give you the position. It don't matter what it is. Just having a desire and just having the potential does not give you the position. That's right. There can be a position in my job, and I can go over and say, hey, Toby Breeden, I've got the potential and I've got the desire. I'm owning this dealership now. You go sell cars. I'll probably be in handcuffs. Because just having the potential and the desire doesn't get it done.
Right.
There's a lot of women that have the potential and the desire to be married to somebody famous. Just having the potential and the desire does not make you married to that person.
Right.
Some people probably need to know that. I got customers that are, I think they truly believe they're married to Elvis Presley. My wife loves me, and she does not honor me like they do Elvis Presley. They'll have his books, they'll have his air freshener, they'll have everything else, absolutely, going toward that. Having the potential and the desire alone is not it. Amen. I'm trying to get something here. Just having a desire and the potential is not getting done. An opportunity is given to her one day when she comes of age to receive a pardon to her old name, and she can take on the new name of her husband. And whenever you take on that new name, you are no longer identified with who you used to be. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
There was a woman by the name of Rahab that had, she had expressed the name of Rahab the harlot. And I want to go to, let's go to Joshua chapter 2, verses 19. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 19. This woman expressed the life of a harlot until a pardon was offered to her. And she said unto him, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you come out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon, Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our lives for yours, if you utter not our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And she let down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless of whosoever shall be with thee in the house. His blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. This woman did not go to them in the attitude of saying, hey, I don't deserve this judgment that you're bringing forth upon us. She came with the attitude of mercy, of saying, I have heard the testimonies of a living God. I have heard of the power of a living God that's parted the Red Sea. He's done these great things. And when she heard this gospel, everybody knows what the gospel is. Amen. It's the good news. Amen. This woman heard the good news of a God that was doing the miraculous. And she said, I want to respect this God. I want to respect this movement. I want to bow down before it. How can you save me and my family? And he gave her a petition, and she could have done whatever she wanted with that petition. But he said, as we read the scriptures, put the scarlet outside your door, and you and your family get behind that door, because this wrath, this power of a God that you have talked about, he is coming. The God that parted the Red Sea, the God that did all the great wonders in Egypt, the God that did all these things, he's still God. And he is coming, and it's going to be wrath. But if you'll get behind this scarlet thread, you and your family, you can miss this judgment that is going to happen. Right. It's going to happen. Are you catching what I'm saying? There is a judgment that's going to happen to this earth, brother and sister. And we must be behind that thread. Amen. We must be behind that bloodline, because that is our only hope. She could be out there running around with sincerity and all that she might have and be just a good old boy. But if you're not behind the thread, if your dad, if your grandpa, if your uncle, if your mom, if they are not behind that thread, they are going to die with the rest of them. Right. Brother and sister, we need to see the reality of it. This is something that's going to happen. Right. One of the saddest things I ever see is see somebody that willfully live a life of sin, and then when they die at the funeral, they all say, oh, we know they're in heaven right now. Right. It's the greatest shame that you could ever do. Don't get me wrong. I know it's a time of compassion. It's a time of love. But you are lying to those people. Because if you are not behind that blood, that is our only hope. Bike rider of the motorcycle gang. Or every motorcycle gang. Every prison. Every hospital,
Every church, every person can reach out to God right now.
Amen.
Because there is a blood that's over the earth. And that is why we can talk to God. We can cry out to God. We can say, God, have mercy upon us. There is a blood there. Listen to me. There's going to come a time when that blood will go back from the Gentiles back to the Jews. And that blood is gone. And prior to that, if a person dies without receiving that blood into their heart, you have no blood. All you can do is stand before a God that sent his son to die for you. And you willfully said, I don't need it. I'm a good person. What kind of God are they going to be standing in front of? Amen. This is for me too. I said, Lord, help me to catch the reality of my family, of my neighbors, of the lady I saw running down the street a while ago. That is my sister by faith. And realizing, you know what, if they don't get to this mercy of the blood, I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. If we don't get them to the blood of Jesus Christ, brother, sister, all they can do is stand before an angry God. We've got children around this message that have left. They ain't serving the Lord. They're not doing nothing. If they die in that way, they're going to have to face God without the blood. How close and how fervent should we walk before the Lord? How sober should we walk before the Lord? You know, if we got an insurance bill, Brother Tony, for the church, and we paid it, just like we're supposed to. We sent it in. And I got proof. I got pictures of it. In the worst case scenario on a electric bill or a insurance bill or something like that, and you miss the cutoff, you can pay a fee and get it turned back on. You can face a penalty and get it back on. Listen to me. When you miss the rapture, there is no pay, no penalty in getting back. You will face the judgment. So many parents will have their son, they'll get him out of trouble. Get him out of trouble. Get him out of trouble. Get him out of trouble from a little bitty age. It just burns me up when I see a parent have a child say, no! I don't have to do it. You're stupid. And laugh about it. It's not funny. Because that little bitty child is going to grow up just like that, expecting, and she'll be able to despise authority. They will not let him know where they will not take correction. And then, you know what? That parent can help them. They get in trouble, they'll help them. They'll get in trouble. They'll help them. And we pray, God, get a hold of my son. God, get a hold of my daughter. God, get a hold of my loved one. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Help get a hold of them. And every single time something comes through there, the parent will get right in front of them and bail them out. I'm preaching Brother Daniel too. There's going to come a day if they keep flirting around with it and they miss rapture morning, you can't bail them. They're going to stand before God because you had the same opportunity as everybody else. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you know, when you receive the blood, you change, you eat that nature, listen to me, you will live a holy life. You take a cat, you pull the life out of that cat, and you put a dog in it, that cat will act like no. You put Tony, you put that his tail on the crane, he'll bark like a dog then. Why? Because the life's been changed. But you take a cat that tries to act like a dog, and you put that cat's tail on a vise, and you crank it, he ain't going to go woof, woof, woof. It's going to go meow! Because the life inside of it will be expressed through the pressure. Pressure shows and reveals who we really are. Whenever you're going through something, what are you reaching for? I want to reach to God.
Amen.
When I see my children, I'm worried about my children. Listen to me. If you worried about your children, do you worry about your children because you hate them? If you're worried about your brothers, I've got brothers that are not serving the Lord. Do I worry about them because I hate them? You got the loved ones that are not serving the Lord. Do you worry about them because you hate them? You worry about them
because you absolutely love them.
Amen.
And you know, we live in a life where we do not like confrontation. We don't like pressure. I want somebody.
Right.
We'll go the easy route every single time. That's why when Brother Daniel said, if I'm going out there, I'm going to go with the best car that needs the least work, and that's the one I want. Whenever we have family, brother and sister, we need to keep in mind, I want to spend time with them, but I've got to hold my standard. Because you know what? Down time, your kids will say, later on down the road, they say, you know what? I may not agree with him, but he's on beat every single time.
Amen.
Amen. This woman desired a token. And after the fall of Jericho, she and her family were saved. And this woman that was known as the harlot married a captain of the Israelite army. How many knows that's true?
Right.
But his name was Salmon. It's probably Salmon. Probably my fishing. Married a man of Israelite women. That's S-A-M-O-N. Israel, he was a captain of the Israelite army. And they went to Bethlehem. And they settled down in Bethlehem. She was no longer identified as Rahab the harlot. And who was born in Bethlehem? God can take your disaster of your life, and he has, and put us right back in Bethlehem to where we can live in Bethlehem. I want to live in Bethlehem. You know what Bethlehem is? House of God's bread.
Right.
It's where we are living with the bread. We don't want to go visit the bread. We want to live with the bread.
Right.
I know my wife used to get on her nerves because I like to put a Bible or something on my coffee table or where it's at, and it's kind of in the way. But you know what? You know why I do that? You're going to think I'm real silly over this. I do that because every time I see that, it causes me to pick up and read it. I'm going to show you something else silly. You know where I got in the front of my Bible? A Band-Aid. That's not because my Bible has been cut. It's because every time I open my Bible up and I see that Band-Aid, it reminds me that he's a God that heals.
Amen.
It reminds me he is a God of life. He reminds me that he is a God of edification. It reminds me that if I've got this living inside me, I should be living that kind of life. And whenever you leave my presence, you should feel like a better person. Because the atmosphere that I'm creating around me, because we're not even the one that makes the atmosphere, it's him. Listen to me, Brother Branham, over and over and over again, he would have to wait for the Lord to come. When Sister Metcalf, Earl Metcalf, was a man that was going to be in the FBI, this man was going to die of cancer. To the point, his blood looked like tomato juice. And they had heard that this man, William Branham, was across the states, and that he was a man that God would answer prayer and healed the sick. She gets this poor man inside that car and goes as fast as she could all the way across the states. I am not lifting up a man. She goes all the way across the states and they go up to knock on the door. Brother Brown opens the door and he says, "Hello, Miss Metcalf. I've been expecting you." This is before cell phones. Said, "Hello, Miss Metcalf. I've been expecting you." They go inside the little den, and Earl Metcalf sits right here, and Brother Branham sits right beside him, and has Earl Metcalf's knees right between his. And Brother Branham just puts his hands on his knees, and he says, "You see that deer over there? I shot that deer such and such place. Oh, it was, the breeze was just like this. The wind was going. I remember the birds were chirping." And Brother Branham's just gently talking to this man. And Sister Metcalf, the woman that had been driven for hours and hours and hours and hours to get here, and she's like,
We've been driving for hours to get here. Can we get this thing on the road? Because like he could literally die right now.
Brother Brown just sitting there, and he says, Sister Metcalf, we're doing this for a reason. Sits down and says, anyway, I was catching this fish. I was going down the road, and she's getting fidgety all over again, fidgety. He says, Sister Metcalf, we're doing this for a reason. Turns back over to her, and he began to talk about fishing. And she stilled it. He finally got started. Sister Metcalf, we're doing this for a reason. Turns around and talks to Brother Earl Metcalf. And all of a sudden, the spirit dropped down. Just like a fog. And Brother Brown says, he's here now. Now we can pray. And he took his hand and did not say a dynamic prayer. He said, Father, I ask you to heal my brother in Jesus' name. God healed the man. It was not Brother Brennan. He was just an instrument, just like I'm your brother, just like Brother Tony's your brother, just like you were my sister or my brother. He was just a man. But God chose to work through that avenue and healed the man. This is the point I'm trying to make. I'm not pointing to Brother Brennan. I'm talking about that same presence. Still comes down.
Amen.
That same presence comes, but then you know what it is? A lot of times we're too fidgety. We're too antsy. We're thinking, hey man, he's taking too much time. Come on, let's get this thing on the road. Do you realize a minister can't do anything?
Right.
Jesus said, I can do nothing unless the Father show me. Nothing. If he couldn't do nothing, what in the world makes you think a minister can?
Right.
Trust me, I can get you pumped up and through all probably with the best of them. It wouldn't do no good. Unless God was orchestrating me to do it.
Right.
But you know, it's whenever you can wait on His presence to come down, brother and sister, and whenever you recognize that presence coming down, and then you go to pray, and you pray with that, you will see mountains moved.
Amen.
How many of you got prayer that you said, God, I really need God to move something? Sometimes you have prayed, you tried, nothing, can't get through.
Yeah.
If you wait for that presence to come down, you wait with that anointing to come down, and then you work with that. And you pray. You are working according to God's laws, and you will see mountains moved. I'll give you a testimony. My wife and I were going over Backbone Hill in Bacoa, and she was sicker than a dog. Several years ago in a country in New Cherokee, and we were trying to have a good day with the Lord, and she was just so upset. And you know what? We prayed, Lord, help her. I asked you to just help her, you know, as a prayer we knew she would do. She just sicker than a dog. We're driving and we're trying to have a good day, and she just keeps sicker than a dog, and all of a sudden I felt that presence come down. And we were in traffic, and someone behind us, I was slammed over on the side of the road, right on Backbone Hill in Bacoa. Remember what I'm talking about? I said, now let's pray. I took her hand, I said, Lord, I ask you to heal my wife, and no more than I said that. And since she opened her door, she began to puke whatever that was inside of her, and immediately, 100%. Perfectly fine. Same sickness, same prayers. Difference is one was with the Lord and one was with Daniel. Brother and sister, it's whenever you're waiting on Him. I'm talking about Son Express, where you can have the Philip come to Jesus and said, show us the Father. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus was right there with them, and He was doing the works of the Father. They should have been able to look at the works that He was doing and said, this is the Father. This is going to hurt what I'm fixing to say, but it's the truth. People ought to be able to look at us. If we've got the Father, people should be able to look at the works in our life and say, that's the Father. Am I telling the truth this morning? You can have somebody say, you know what, I may not agree with that, but I'm telling you something, that person was healed. I saw it. Brother Brennan talked about the infidel. He said, I went to go see an infidel. I was going to go squirrel hunting and use his land. He said, can I borrow your land? He said, I don't let anybody borrow this land. He said, my father so-and-so, I think it's Collins, I can't remember the name exactly. He said, wait a minute, is that your son? Or is that your father? He said, yeah, that's my father. Yeah, you can hunt here. Brother Branham had jeans with blood all over his pants that were so, they said that his head so much, because he would put a stick, I think, in his pants, and he'd put a squirrel on top of that stick, and he'd walk around with it, and that squirrel would be slapping on his leg like that. Blood all over his leg. Squirrel blood. And they said that he had so much blood on that he could stand his pants up against the wall. That's pretty gross, man. Big old whiskers all over his face. And this man that was with him, he said, who's this with you? He said, oh, this is a preacher. He said, you ain't got so low down, you got to have a preacher with you, dude. He said, well, Brother Graham talked to him. He said, hey, how you do? He said, I do. He said, I'm an infidel. He said, ain't nothing to brag about, is it? He said, well, I guess not. Brother Graham just waiting on the Lord because he can't do it himself. And the Lord says, look at the tree over there, and there's an apple tree. He said, hey, on this apple, you mind if I have one of those apples? Yeah, you can have one. And then the Lord quickened him. He said, hey, what is it that makes this apple live? You know, because the yellow jackets are all over eating this apple. He said, in the wintertime, he said, you know, the leaves leave that tree, the apples leave the tree. He said, but come spring, here comes that apples all over again. The leaves start coming. How does that happen? He said, what is it that makes that sap to go into the roots? The man tells us the sap goes into the roots of those trees. He says, what is it that makes the sap go into those roots? I don't know. We got to talk about divine healing. And this man knew of a woman that was healed, that was dying on her deathbed. How many knows the story? Amen. Woman dying on her deathbed. And this infidel said, I don't believe in none of that nonsense, but I'll tell you something, the one thing that's real. This woman was dying. And God healed that woman. And knew things about her that nobody, hey, there's no way that he can know. He said, how did he know that? Brother Branham said, the same God that speaks to that tree and tells the sap to go into the ground and tells it when to come up is the same God that told me what her name was. The man said, you're that man? He said, I'm the man. Brother Branham was not pointing to himself. He was saying the same God that can tell a tree it's time to put your life into the roots is the same God that will tell it to get up again. It's the same God that speaks to you and I, brother and sister. Amen. You know, the worst thing we could ever do is allow this gospel to become complicated. We've got to be educated to know it. Did God build the educated? I'm not saying it's wrong to be educated. Trust me, you'll make it easier in life, I imagine. God goes to the simple. I'm fixing to close. I know. I'm not even going to try to get to the rest of where I'm at. Brother Graham talked about how he was on a hunting trip. And on this hunting trip, he saw this eagle over here. And he was just praising the Lord. He began to look at this eagle over here. And this eagle, every once in a while, would just fluff its wings like that. And Brother Graham looked at this eagle. And he said, you know what? If I wanted to, I could shoot you. And that eagle didn't even pay him no mind. He was just flapping his wings. And he began to look at this eagle, and he noticed that every once in a while that eagle was flapping those wings. And what that eagle was doing was 1-2. 1-2. That eagle's confidence was in his wings. His confidence was not how fast he could run. His confidence was in his wings, because that's what God gave him. And Brother Brown said, before I could even get to my rifle, he said, that eagle took 2 swipes. And he was so far above the clouds, he said, there's no way I could reach him if I wanted to. Listen to me, we're supposed to seek our calling and election short every day.
Amen.
Where you are in check, I, the Son of God, I know where I'm at in this word.
Amen.
I know who I am. I am in this word. I am. Because what are you doing? You are walking in the Spirit. You're talking to God. You're communicating what? You are communing with God, because this is your strength. This is his word, brother and sister. God gave us his best when he gave us his word.
Amen.
And I'm saying this because you know what? There will be times whenever you need a healing. I need a healing. And I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't get it. I need a healing.
Amen.
How many of you have been there? I need a healing. And there's nothing more frustrating than whenever you're praying and you feel like you're hitting a brick wall. Unanswered prayers. You know how many hardened hearts have happened because of a feeling of unanswered prayers. Why? Why did I have to go through this? I went fishing on 4th of July. Finally get to go fishing. I'm getting somewhere, I'm telling you. I was fishing the other day and I was on my raft. I got my fly rod set. The weather's right. I'm up at 5:30 in the morning. I get on this thing and I'm just traveling, and I got one other fisherman that I see, and he's going another direction. I'm like, if I'm fishing, and I like brothers with me, but I don't want other people. Does that sound stingy? To me, fishing is a time of solitude. And this man said, I hope you don't think I'm being rude. He said, but I come here because I was hoping nobody else would be here. I said, me too. He said, oh, we're in agreement. He goes, and I'm on my trolling motor, and I'm traveling down. And I'm traveling probably about the length of a football field. And all of a sudden, these big old fish about that big start jumping out of the water. They're hitting the top of the water. I'm telling you, it's, you can see the shad on top of the water. Like, this is going to be a great day. And all of a sudden, I've got my trolling motor, and it just stops. And I'm like, I'm looking fast. I took my paddle. Boom, 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 boom. So I'm seeing the fish over here. This is my opportunity to catch these fish. It's the absolutely perfection time of fishing. And you're failing me. And I'm trying to get this. And I have, that raft was designed to where you sit on the floor and you can use the paddles to use your oars. And it works great. Well, guess what I did? Because it hurts my back to sit down that low. I put a stool on there, got me a chair on there, so you cannot use that. And I figured that out really fast. Because now I'm way down the road from my truck. I have no power to my trolling motor. And all I can do is take this paddle and go like this. And the raft was just going like this. And I'm somehow paddling. And I'm like, well, I'm going to keep going because I'll make some leeway. And I'm just paddling, and I'm just, well, at least I'm making leeway. And there was a tree beside me. And I kept paddling, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be done. I was further away. The tree's up there, and I'm supposed to be going that way, and I'm going this way. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm now pouring my sweat, and I'm hearing the fish flop, and I'm hearing all these things. This is a perfect time that I can be fishing. And I remember, I said, Lord, I'm not trying to drink. I'm not trying to do drugs. I just want to go fishing. That's all I want, Lord. Why can't things just rot one time? And I remember the Lord just came down and he says, I got approved. I'm one in a million. How many knows the song? Amen. And I was like, Lord, you are so right. Because you know what? When you're sitting in this pew with air conditioning, you say, I got approved. I want in a million. Praise God. How hard is that? But I'm here to tell you something. When you've got fish jumping, and you can't catch them because your equipment that you... I bought new because I wanted to work right. And nothing's going right. And I said, you know what? This is not going to defeat me. I'm going to prove... Brother Tim came up. I'm one in a million. Do you know that song?
I know that harsh.
Tell me, Hannah got a miracle. I got that thing paddled, and this is the honest truth. I was fighting that thing, going circles and circles and circles and circles and circles, and was making no move at all. And I don't know how in the world, but I knew the words of that song at that time. I had no idea. They're probably wrong, but I sung them anyway. God's the honest truth. That thing started moving all by itself. I was paddling that, and that raft, God's my witness, that raft, I had that little paddle, and I'm just going like that, and that thing was going, I was like, oh my goodness, I don't even need a trolling motor. That thing took me all the way back up to my truck. You tell me God can do something for you.
Amen.
And then I went to a place where Brother Tim told me, and I caught the far out of fish, two at a time. So, let's all stand.
Well, I got to prove.
pray with you. And I know it's a little early for service. That you know what? I'm not going to drag you the service out. I pray that you got something from
Amen.
What I'm trying to say this
Amen.
Morning. And it's been a battle. I've had a plow this morning. But you know what? My sincere prayer is you catch what I'm saying is you, each one of you have got a position as a son of God.
Amen.
Every one of you. And I just want you to run well with that position.
Amen.
That's you, because you know your walk with the Lord. You know, it's so important that you just know where I'm going in the Lord.
Amen.
Because you know what? Listen, it should not offend me. My daughter, I remember when she was a little bitty baby, I would be the one that brushed her hair. And I brushed it every day to help her, and whatever her mama didn't help it. And sometimes it hurt. But it wasn't because I was trying to hurt her. It's because I was trying to get the tangles out. But you know what? Once you get those tangles out and you keep doing it, the more you brush it, the less tangles. You know, that's what we were doing this morning. We were just brushing. So if they say, Bill, Brother Dave, I ain't got that problem. Well, praise God. We're just brushing. Amen. Brother Tony, can you come forth and sing this song, brother? If you need prayer, please come. We'd like to pray with you.
Well, I got a prayer.
Sit up on the back of the couch and comb my grandmother's hair. And maybe my wife's combed her hair a few times, but you don't start at the top and work go down. You start at the bottom and you work your way up.
That's right.
And, you know, life's like that. You got to start, you know, and just keep working your way through. You don't just tackle the, you know, right off the bat. But, you know, right now we're at canning season, right? All the sisters will do that kind of. And, you know, with canning season, you take all that good food that you've worked hard to grow, it's valuable, and you put it in jars. You have a canning process. And that whole process is to seal up that valuable product, to seal it up inside a jar. In our case, what we did, what we always used was a, but you put it in a jar and seal it up. And the lid will pop down, showing that it's got a little vacuum there. And if it doesn't do that, it's not sealed.
That's right.
But once that seal is there, you can take that jar and you can stick it in a fruit closet or down in the basement or wherever it is, and it can get spiders all over it and dust all over it and whatever. But the product inside is still good.
Right.
Right? So God wants to get your experience into such a place where once he seals all that goodness inside you, you're sealed. And it makes no difference what goes on in the world around you, outside you, and how filthy the world tries to get on you sometimes like that. You know, you just take that jar out, wipe it all off, clean it all off, and open it up, and everything in there is still just as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
See, we just need to get into sync with God's program. He'll take care of you.
Yeah.
But it's got to be his program.
Amen.
Amen. And just to follow things the way he does it. You know, there's a lot of companies, you know, that make a product. There's some companies, I don't say a lot, but they have quality inspectors, and, you know, that'll inspect the product before it goes out the door. And there are some of these companies, their product quality inspector, they'll actually put their picture, like if it's an appliance. I'm thinking of a washing machine, I guess, a clothes washer. Or a dryer. American Dryer Company is what I'm thinking of. But so they would actually put a picture on the front of that dryer, and it would have that inspector's picture and his name, and it'd say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm quality inspector for this, and I approve this product."
Yeah.
He's willing to put his face out there and his name out there to testify that he believes in the quality that's there. And you see, you realize that when God, when he seals you with the Holy Ghost, he's putting his name on there. He's saying, I approve of the message or what's inside this person. I approve of that experience. He's not ashamed to identify himself with you. And, like Brother Daniel was saying, you know, people in the world, everybody in the world can claim something, but it takes God to prove it. Like Brother Graham said to speak a word, well, anybody can speak a word, but to confirm it, that's different. It takes God to do that. And that's really all it is. We just want to give ourselves to him until God says, I approve. Amen. I approve of that message. It's not legalism to tell your children you can't play in the street. Is that legalism?
No.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? You don't let your kids play in the street. You don't go out undressed. You don't fill your body full of nicotine. It's not legalism. It's life.
Amen.
It's protecting life. Right? So that's the way it is. The world thinks things are legalism. You know, Brother Daniel talking about the clothing and stuff. And I remember Brother Ben when he was there over in Africa, and those people came and they were naked. And he didn't pick up a topic and preach on clothes. He preached a sermon called Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And at the end of the service, when the presence of God came down, and I'm assuming he did discernment and stuff like he did, but those people, without preaching about apparel, he just preached the gospel and the presence of God came down, and they backed away from that service that morning, and that afternoon they came clothed. And nobody told them to. And so you understand, it's in the Bible. It's heathens, and it is people who are not in their right mind that go out and not dressed properly. But what I said all that to say is that get in the presence of God. If they just get in the presence of God, you know. You don't have to have someone tell you necessarily, but you'll know because God is a holy God. We know that. So, you know, it's natural. Brother Daniel talking about a child, and you don't expect that child, that baby, to eat meat. But it is natural for a child to grow up to the place where they can eat steak.
Yeah, that's right.
And if they're not, something's wrong. And it is natural, in Christianity, spiritually speaking, it is natural for a Christian to grow up in the Lord and be able to say amen to every portion of God's word.
Yeah.
And if they're not, something's wrong with their growth process.
Right.
And I say that because as we've said so many times recently, me and Brother Daniel both, we inspect ourselves. We look at ourselves. It's a constant thing every day.
Yes.
That we should. And we should be saying, am I eating the meat of the word? Or am I still shying back away from it? Am I still saying, oh, I don't know, you know? Amen?
Yeah.
We should be able to say amen to all of God's words. You know, as I said, it's canning season. It's growing season. And my wife will tell you know, there's some plants we start in as seeds and we grow, get them ready, and then we put them out. One of them is tomato plants, and we like tomatoes. And I will plant those tomatoes, you know, they'll be in a container, and they might be that tall. And I will plant them so deep, there might only be just that much of the leaves sticking out of the top. I plant them deep because I learned a long time ago, if they're shallow, well, when it gets like it is right now, they don't do very good.
Right.
I also learned something else. By planting them deep like that, I also learned if you just keep watering and watering when they don't really need it, well, all the roots will be just up here happy close to the surface because that's where the water is. Right?
Yeah.
You're cutting off something there that they need to have. They need to dig deep. Well, the way you dig deep is you don't just keep babying them. You plant them deep, And then you make them roots dig down and down and down. Because when you do that, when it gets like it is right now, it's dry that deep, those roots are down there where they're still getting things. And I'm saying this because, we don't want a baby. We don't want to bail out all the time. When people do things wrong, there needs to be a consequence to those things. So they learn from that. But the whole thing is for them to dig down in their experience to be in deep into the Word. And so that when it's down there like that and things get rough, they're still fine. Yeah. Amen? And so it's all natural type spiritual. But we just really appreciate the thing Brother Daniel had to say this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Good lessons in life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Does anybody have need of prayer? We'll certainly do it. We'll sing this, and if anybody has any prayer, we certainly pray for you. Amen. Just ask the Lord and see what He does. Amen. Oh, mercy, be brought by. In service two or three times so everybody knows to be here. And so when 2 weeks from today when you come in, we will give a voting ballot to those who are eligible, because there is criteria that makes you eligible. We will give that to you and allow you to vote for the election of the offices. We do one trustee per year. We don't change them all at once, so there'll be a trustee position. And also the treasurer position every year comes up for re-election. And this year, Brother Daniel's both of them. So his name will be on there. And it's always unanimous. Everybody approves it. It's kind of silly. Why do we do this? But you have to do it. So may the Lord bless you. We'll be looking for some fellowship here in just a little bit. So, mercy.